September 11th, 1997. Nancy Conger. Hearing, the delicate sense.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming out tonight to titillate your senses. Tonight, especially the sense of hearing. And I'm Nancy Conger. I've written a book about the senses and how they work, comparisons to us and animals, and ways that you can use your senses to actually improve them. Now, that statement is a bit of a lie in the case of hearing. Because hearing, I call it the delicate sense, because it's the only one of your senses that you cannot physically improve. All the others, you can actually grow more cells, you can do all these things to actually make them better, but hearing is different. You're born with an apparatus and you don't get anything more than that. It only can go downhill from there. So, and I see a lot of heads going, yeah. So if I'm not speaking loudly enough, just raise your hands and let me know, because I'll try to do that. And I may end up dancing in the center or something to get closer. This is kind of a barrier. One of the special things about hearing, besides its delicacy, is how complicated a trail it takes from the air to our perception. Most of the other senses, like those who were, some of you were here for smell, where a molecule of something goes into the air, goes up into your nose, triggers a cell, and there you smell. It's just really simple. But hearing is extraordinarily complex. It starts out as sound, some kind of disturbance in the air. That, or my voice, a wave rolling, something is disturbing the air. And that makes what we call sound waves, or acoustic energy. And molecules of air bump against each other and keep bumping until the sound fades out miles away. There's a few seats over here too. So that's how it starts, as just acoustical energy or disturbances of air. Well then, this sound wave reaches our odd, strange little ears. And it will hit the side of our head, and some of it will go inside. At that point, you've probably all heard about the three smallest bones of the body in your inner ear. There's these three little bones that tip against each other and trigger each other. So what was acoustic energy or sound waves now becomes mechanical. It's mechanical energy, and these three little bones are jiggling against each other. Seats back here, other
things.
Yep, right over here. So that's the second conversion of energy. Acoustic energy, then mechanical energy. Well, one of the things those little bones do is they knock against your eardrum. And that hits a fluid-filled sac. There's a round snail-shaped organ in your inner ear, and it's filled with fluid, water. So the bones hit that, and it now has become hydraulic energy. It's water. And that water now is moving inside this little organ, and it hits tiny cells, cilia, which when they're triggered, they send a message to the brain, so it becomes electrical energy. So it has four conversions of energy before we even understand that we've heard a noise. Very, very complex. And it's also fairly amazing that our ear will magnify a sound 200 times for us to hear it. So on all those conversions of energy, it's actually amplifying the sound, making it bigger. So that's part of the delicacy of this sense, is all those little bones can be broken. The eardrum itself can be snapped. Has anyone ever seen someone's ear bleed from the inside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A loud noise can pop that thing. And also, a loud noise of any kind will knock down some of those little hairs, the cilia, inside that fluid-shaped organ. And once those things are knocked down, they never grow back. So every time you have a loud blast of noise, you lose some hearing permanently. So all of us have lost hearing since we were first born. In fact, just today at lunch, there were a few examples of sounds that would probably cause us to lose some of our hearing. When we do the happy birthday and make the noise, or back in the dish room, I ran up and got earplugs because the clatter of plates would actually numb the ears. So it's a delicate sense, because all this noise actually chips away at our sense of hearing, and it becomes dull over time. So one of the myths of our culture is that hearing declines with age, that it's because we get old that we lose our hearing, when the truth is, it's because we've experienced a lot of noise that we lose our hearing. So you don't have to be old to lose hearing, but if you are older, you've had a lot of noise come through your head. Has anyone here experienced hearing loss? Anyone? Okay. Does anyone know why? Did you work with loud things, or does anyone know? Not you? Elmer whispered his whole life.
Too many rock concerts.
Too many rock concerts? That would do it. Yeah.
Minus Meniere's disease.
Meniere's disease. There are a few diseases that actually will affect the inner ear. Yes. Also, a head injury could do that. Other people? Is anyone here a hunter? Okay. That would do it. Like my father.
Yeah. My husband broke his eardrum diving too deep in the
hole. Oh, pressure. Sure. Okay, that could do it.
Another thing is chainsaw.
Yeah, that would do it. What the amazing thing is, the way we are designed is to hear very soft sounds. And I want to just show you an example of what we are designed to hear. All right, for this demonstration, the thing to keep in mind is that 85 decibels is the point at which we start to lose hearing. A decibel is a measure of volume. So the higher the decibel, the louder. All right, so let's just remember, 85 decibels is the max that you would want to go to. All right, does anyone have a guess of how many decibels rustling leaves might be? Just any guesses.
10?
Okay, on a windy day, it could get up to 20. Probably 10 a lot of the time. All right, so that's a sound that we're designed to hear. Okay, how about average conversation? Guesses?
35.
35.
40.
Other guesses?
42.
Okay, actually it can get a little louder than that. Heated discussion. Could go to 60, but that's still okay. That's well within what we're designed to hear. Okay, how about busy traffic? 180?
70?
70? Good guesses. So this is when you're standing on a street corner waiting to cross and it's really busy. That's 70 decibels. Still okay, considering that 85 is our max. All right, washing machine or dishwasher?
30, 35?
You guys must have ultra-modern. A lot of dishwashers. You know, you walk into someone's house and the dishwasher's going, it's just like, whoa! It's really a racket. Okay, how about a motorcycle 25 feet away? 194. Wow, someone's really specific. I don't know about Harleys. I don't know. This is your average motorcycle. And it's 90 and up. I'll bet the Harleys are over 100.
Yeah.
Patented sound. Okay. Lawnmower.
120.
Been doing a few lawns. Pretty close. 110. So you see how some of these things that we've invented, these creations of ours, are actually too loud for the way we were created. They are too loud. They cause us to lose hearing. Rock concert.
Who would? Too
loud for my ears.
Yeah.
For my ears.
Can get up to 130 decibels, and 130 decibels, you feel pain.
What kind of music, though?
Good. I don't know that it matters. So at 130, that's when someone's eardrum could break, or you might see bleeding in the ears, or it just might hurt. It's so high. And then how about a shotgun? 200? 200? 50? Actually, about 130. Now, just to, any comments about this, or?
Your proportion doesn't seem right.
What do you mean?
Well, the 130 compared to the 70, which, you know, the amount of pain you feel, I guess, doubling, it seems like it would triple or be more.
Be more.
Somehow.
Yeah.
The scale, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure that we can tolerate, that as a creature, we can tolerate a lot higher than 130. I mean, there is a point where sound will kill you. Did it so loud, so yeah.
What about distance in relation to where it starts from? Does it decrease, and how far away do you have to be from a rock concert to be safe?
Okay, the question is, how far away from the rock concert do you have to be before it's safe?
If you can still hear it, you're too close.
Okay, let's say it's the Boston Symphony, all right. Well, your point is a good one. This is the amount of decibels at the point of origin, except this, the motorcycle at 25 feet. So the further away you are, the softer it will be, because the sound waves just, they peter out after a while. But with each sound, it would differ as to how far away you need to be. You would actually need to carry around a little decibel meter to know for sure. And where I live, near Minneapolis, St. Paul, there's an international airport, and there's a lot of controversy over the noise. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I'm there, Sunday nights are really bad. The plane will go overhead, and it will actually be painful for just a few seconds. It is so loud. And neighborhoods have now installed decibel meters so that the citizens can see just how loud was that plane, and nail the airlines. So people are starting to wake up to the stress and the destruction of too much noise. Now, I want to have us do an experiment of experiencing the amount of sound that we're designed to hear. So what I'd like you to do is to close your eyes. And I'm going to give us about 2 minutes of quiet. I was going to say silence, but there's no such thing. It will just be quiet. And just observe what sounds you hear, the music of Polden right now. So close your eyes and listen. What did you hear? What did you hear? Breathing, stomach gurgling. Okay, what was that?
Someone's playing Closer to Fine by the Indigo Girls over.
Okay, someone's stereo.
They're on Slave One porch. They're playing it though. Jeff's playing it on
Slave One. Oh, yeah. She can tell the person and where they are, and it's a ways away. Okay, and the song. Okay, other sounds.
Wrestling. Moving.
Okay, people moving.
Breathing.
Gastric juices from the lasagna.
Okay, stomach.
Building creaking.
The building creaking from all those heavyweights up in the balcony.
Inside of your brain, inside of your head, the noises of your blood pressure, that kind of thing.
Okay, the noises inside her head and the voices. It's like, does the noise in my head bother you? Other sounds.
It was the wind on the mansion.
The wind, right.
Outside.
Yep, every so often.
The wind.
Right.
Breathing.
Breathing.
I heard the crabgrass growing.
He heard the crabgrass growing. That's very good. You should be on Lawn and Garden. I'll bet you are. I heard my shoulder clunk. You know, a little click of my own body. Okay, those are all very soft sounds. And those are closer to the rustling leaves, the lower decibel sounds that we're designed to hear. I remember one time I was running through the woods. I was late to catch a boat, which was the only way out of this particular place. And I was just running and pounding along a trail. And I heard, even through all my breathing and I was going to say hooves, feet hitting the ground, I heard this kind of sound, an odd sound, and it stopped me in my tracks. And then I waited and I heard it again. And I looked over to the direction that it was. It was very soft, so I waited for it again. And there it was, and I could tell it was down toward the ground. And a fourth time I heard it, and I could tell that it was coming from inside a big log. And the fifth time I heard it, I found where the sawdust was coming out of the log, and it was carpenter ants. So what amazed me was I was hell-bent for leather to catch a boat, and I heard that little sound, and it took four times for me to find a log about 8 feet into the woods and the ants inside it. It was very amazing to me that I could even hear that. So it's just a reminder that we are designed to hear very small and minute things. Now, when I was a kid, I spent a lot of time with a dog. And the dog could prick up its ears and turn them and hear all kinds of things. And I thought, what a ripoff to be a human being, because I can't move my ears around. And I felt like I was probably missing a lot of the sounds. What I didn't know then is that we just have a different system for locating sounds. We don't have the ears that we can turn around, but we have this strange shell-like ear, and it just works a different way. So instead of being able to turn our ears toward a particular sound, we use a few clues to find out where a sound is. Is it up or down, to the side, or where? So one of the ways that we do that is in all this strange, look at somebody's ear. Okay, everybody find an ear to look at. Okay. I hope you cleaned your ears. All right, so one of the ways that we find out where sound is coming from is through all these strange little valleys in our ear. The sound will come, it will hit this ear, and it's shaped like a shell, so it scoops it in. So that's the first way. It scoops in some of the sound. Then all these little peaks and valleys take that sound and they knock it around a bunch of times before it goes inside our head. And when it's knocking it around, we've learned what frequencies get highlighted or diminished depending on where something is. So if something is above you, the sound will be coming down and it will get knocked around a different way than if something is below you. Now another way that we figure out where a sound is by use of the two ears. For instance, if the sound were coming from over there, it would come at me and it would hit this ear first and it would be a little bit louder here than it is here. Just a tiny, tiny bit, but enough to notice. So I would instantly know it's over there. Also, it's coming from there, hits my head, and just like water, sound waves have to go around objects. So it has to go around your head, above it, front of it, back of it. And so it creates a shadow, a sound shadow, on the other side of your head. Just like if you're canoeing and there's a big rock in the water, there's a calm eddy on the downstream side. So we hear this little sound shadow, which also tells us, oh, it's over there. A third way that we locate sounds has entirely escaped me. So I have no clue. So I'm just going to have you practice locating a sound. So what I'm going to do is play my violin and I will move around. And I'll have you close your eyes and notice as you listen that you know exactly where I am at any given moment. Okay, so hold on. All right. Close your eyes. Listen and notice how you know exactly where I am. Thank you. Thank you. Where did I go?
Here.
Okay.
And you went around on the front room.
Okay, around the front.
Went out the door.
Went outside a little bit. Okay, went behind you guys. Yep. Okay. And did I go in front of the flip chart or behind the piano?
Behind.
Okay, you knew I went behind the piano. All right, could you feel it? Obviously, you knew where I was. So your ears were telling. Yeah.
I have a complete hearing loss in my right ear. And to me, you could have been standing there. I had no idea where you were.
That's great point. It points out the value of the two. The comparison of the two ears. Yeah. Did you? Oh, so you didn't notice any?
A little bit louder. Evidently, you walked by here with just slightly louder, you know.
Right. Yep. So you get the things that one ear can do,
yeah.
Like louder and softer, but you won't get the things like the sound shadow and the.
I got to put all these mics too.
What?
These microphones.
What about them?
Well, I have a hearing aid.
Oh, he's got the special setup so he gets
You get it through the microphone.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's very lucky. Okay, so when you were getting it through the microphone.
But I couldn't tell where you were.
No, right. Because the microphones are everywhere. Yep, okay, good one.
I could hear the bells on your skirt a lot. Like, I was paying attention to those too, and they helped.
Yeah.
Know where you were.
Yep. She heard the bells on my jewelry, as well as the violin. Hmm. Other observations?
When you stepped out the door, what other noise did you hear? I didn't know you were out the door.
I didn't either.
Well, I couldn't close the door because then I couldn't get back in and I'd be like Fred Flintstone.
You pushed it open and played with it partly open for a little bit?
Yes.
I had no idea you were outside.
Yes, I wish I could have gone out and closed the door and had you all wonder, is she coming back? Yes. Okay. I want to have you try another experiment. That was an example of hearing something that was outside of you. Now, someone over here mentioned that you can hear inside your own body. And I want to have you try that. And just listen to the music of your own body. And let me just say something about this. This is a demonstration of a second way we hear. I've been talking about how sound comes to your ear and through the ear. That's only one way that we hear. We actually hear as much through our bones as through the air. Now, I see a lot of heads nodding. People, do you guys know about this? What do you want to tell us? Anything?
I can't remember exactly, but with jet pilots, they don't hear through their ears, don't they put the speaker, or I mean the microphone, is it nose or mouth? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't remember, but I know they don't use the ears.
Don't use the ears, okay.
Or on their neck or something. It's a different place. They don't use it. Don't use the ears.
Okay, what he's pointing out is that jet pilots, probably because there's so much noise, probably 130 decibels, they can't hear through their ears, so they'll put their microphones right on their body.
It's on the bone.
It's right on the bone. Okay, good example. Because sound will travel very well through your bones, right up into your inner ear. So it just skips the outside and comes straight through the inside. Now let's try a little bit of this. Clack your teeth. Just notice what it sounds like inside your head. Now pay attention to someone else clacking their teeth and notice how little the sound is. It's just... when you do it yourself, it's this big sound. And when you hear someone else do it, it's just a tiny little sound. That's because you are hearing most of it right through the bones of your face and your skull, right straight to your ear. So let's try this, listening through the inside. So I'd like to have you close your eyes and then plug your ears with your index finger. And it's best if you do it like this, with your hands out. Okay, and close your eyes. Okay. What did you hear? Blood rushing. Okay.
Breathing.
Heart swallowing. Heart beating.
My fingers.
Yes. That little creaking sound was your muscles and tendons.
Sometimes the ringing in the ears.
Ringing.
Okay, ringing in the ears. Sure.
You took a deep breath with your fingers here. You could hear the breath. When I pulled my fingers out, you could hear my breath.
Okay, so when you plugged out the outside, you could hear inside. But then you take the hands away, you can't hear inside. Other things?
Like the sound of waves.
Okay, wave sound. Yep. The waters of your body. Is it high tide or low tide? I have a friend who is a nurse. And one of the things she does to calm down after a stressful day is to lie on her back and put the stethoscope on and listen to her stomach. Because it's so soothing. It's very musical. And try that. You can also do that on someone else, because your ear, notice, is shaped very much like the bell of a stethoscope. You can put your head on someone else's stomach and hear. It's very nice. comments or questions so far? Yeah.
Would a constant exposure to a certain frequency have a tendency to dull your ears to that frequency later on? In other words, you know, the different frequencies, say a high decibel in that particular frequency, would that desensitize your ear to that frequency at a later age?
Okay, that's a good question. Could you all hear that question? Okay, so I need to discuss just the difference between decibels, which is volume, and frequency, which is tone. Let's see. Something that is high volume, high decibel, but low frequency would be a jet airplane. Very loud, but low. Oftentimes a low sound. Whereas something with low decibel, in other words, quiet, but high frequency, would be a baby bird chirping. So it's a high sound, but it's low volume. So decibel and frequency are two different things. And your question was?
A high decibel, high frequency, as an example.
Okay, so
Would that desensitize your ears to later on in life to a high frequency?
To that particular frequency. I have not heard that it will do that.
I'll give you an example.
Yeah,
that would be my father-in-law. He could always hear me with my lower voice. He had trouble with his daughter, maybe he didn't like what she was saying. But, you know, her higher voice, he had a harder time understanding, where I could say the same thing, the same volume, and he could understand.
Right, that is exactly right. And what he was pointing out is that someone with hearing loss could hear the lower voice, but couldn't hear a higher voice person, even if they were just as loud as each other. And that's what happens, the high decibels, anything over 85, chips away at your high-end hearing. In other words, it makes you start to lose the high sounds. So things like S and T and D, all these sounds in our language that are really high-pitched, you lose those. It doesn't matter if the sound was a low sound or a high sound. If it was loud, it chips away at the high end of your hearing. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
It would
be great, yes.
Until we go.
I had a deaf son who started out with a 20 decibel loss. He was considered moderately hard of hearing. Now he's in the profoundly deaf category. And would you remind what decibels is the speech range?
Oh, and decibels of speech? I would have to look it up. I don't remember.
Because, but he's strictly lip reader now. But when you say there are certain consonants that he has never heard, ever, but can say them and knows that they're there, but not ever really hearing some letters at all.
Right. She's saying her son, who has some hearing loss, has never heard probably the letter S.
Right.
Summer, or words like that.
How would you explain something like this? My in-law's dog was diagnosed as deaf, so to speak, and you know, he was old enough that he couldn't hear anything. You know, you'd honk the horn and he wouldn't move. He just wouldn't hear it until he noticed you there. But we were watching a movie that had kind of an intense part, and something surprising happened, and I'm not good at those kind of movies, and I scream, and I had a high-pitched scream, and the dog had been sleeping, and the dog jumped right up, and everyone started laughing because we didn't think he could hear anything. So how?
Well, he either did hear you, maybe he could hear the high sounds, or he felt it.
Okay.
Because another way that you hear, not just through the air, not just through bones, but you can feel it on the skin.
That's one of the things that how we found out. We didn't know it. We learned because he was four before we found out that he had a problem. But my husband, we'd clap our hands or stamp our feet and the vibrations, and he'd turn around.
Right. So the vibrations, maybe if you jumped, you hit the ground and the dog felt it. It could be. Okay. Yeah.
Well, there's a percussionist from Scotland that is totally deaf, and she does it all by sound, you know, on by vibration.
Vibration. Interesting. A deaf drummer. That's an example. You can do anything. Yeah. Good idea.
Previous generations did not have rock concerts or power mowers or motorcycles or any of these noise makers. And yet, seemingly, the percentage of people that ended up with very poor hearing or no hearing at all probably was about the same as it is now. Now, how do you...
I guess I don't know if the percentage was the same. If it was, remember that we've had metal in our lives. We've been pounding metal. We've had blacksmiths long before we had power mowers. All these things, ever since humans started using metal, there's been these loud sounds. So yeah, there was hearing loss even before the combustion engine. But it was due to noise, primarily.
Some childhood diseases too, didn't that cause?
Yeah, some childhood diseases. But the majority of hearing loss is noise. You know, there are certain diseases, but mostly noise.
How about heredity?
Well, good point, heredity. You're born with what you're born with. And if you come from a line of really sensitive ears, you probably have better ears to start out with. And so you could be born with lesser ability than the next person. Yeah, that would make a difference.
What is the actual mechanism of hearing loss? I understand that there's fine hairs in a circular canal and everything. Do those hairs actually just fall out, or do they just sag, or what happens?
They get knocked out. Well, let's see. I'll show. Can you all see this up here? Okay, the question was, what physically actually happens when there's hearing loss? So, in my very crude drawing, let's see. This is an ear. And the sound will come to the ear. It'll get bounced around a little bit. I'm making these bigger. Your whole inner ear is the size of a hazelnut. So I'm blowing it up. But it goes down the ear canal. And then there's three little bones that all connect to each other. And where hearing loss occurs is at the next part. This is your eardrum, a little membrane. And then this is the cochlea, and it's filled with liquid. And where hearing loss happens is all these little hairs lining the cochlea. If a loud noise, 85 decibels or louder, hits the eardrum and disturbs the water in here, it will actually, it'll just knock those hairs down. It'll knock them flat. And they don't pop up. They don't grow back. So they just get a loud noise. It's just too much physical pressure, and it'll knock them down. And what starts to happen is sounds is what you first lose. So most people, I'm sure I have hearing loss because I play the violin, and it's right next to my ear. It's very loud. So I'm sure I have a lot of hearing loss here. But I don't notice it yet because it hasn't chopped away at my hearing enough yet to affect conversation. And it's people notice their hearing loss when they start to not being able to understand others talking. And that's when a lot of loss has happened. Otherwise, you might be missing faraway birds or crickets down the block, and you don't even know you're missing them. But when you start to have to go, what to people, you understand that you've had some hearing loss. Yeah.
Are those little hairs connected with stability or dizziness?
Oh, good question. Good question. As far as I understand it, they aren't. Because dizziness, there's a few, let's see. Yeah. See how beautiful you are? The dizziness and balance come more from fluid in three kind of looping canals. They're called the vestibular system. And so I don't know if hearing loss affects that. If it does, it's not a lot. It's because there is this other system in place. It's a good question. Yeah.
4 years ago, I had a pre-induction physical, and I found out I had 30% hearing loss. He recommended multiple vitamins, and my hearing has not decreased any since then.
Interesting.
Beneficial.
That's very interesting. Did he mention any particular vitamin or mineral that was the more helpful?
Initially, it was a prescription medicine, but now it's over the counter.
Wow. That's good news. Talk to him. Find out. That's it. Great. Yeah. Oh, there. Charlie?
Like this last year, I got a lot of fluid in my ears, and I lost like a lot of hearing, and now it's all back. How'd that happen?
So you got like water in your ear?
Fluid? I don't know. I just have got tubes in my ears.
Oh. So. Yeah. A lot of times when people get tubes in their ears, it's because fluid from the esophagus is getting into the inner ear. So it's usually not water from the outside, it's water from inside your body that's leaking in, and it can affect hearing. And the tubes that they put in a lot of times to children will drain that excess fluid. Yeah, that's the most I understand that. Good, I'm glad.
Yeah. Oh, I got something question.
Yeah.
Since your ear is like, you know, like this thing, the people with like bigger like ears that like stick out, do they hear better?
The question was, do people with bigger ears hear better? That's a good question. A bigger ear would scoop in more sound, but it all, like you brought up genetics, there's a lot of a lot involved to the ear. So all other things being equal, the bigger ear would hear more. But the inner part is not necessarily equal. You had a question here? Yeah.
I experienced the same thing a few years ago. Loss of hearing. It isn't bad on one ear, but when you get both of them at the same time, it gets, family doesn't like it. But I was told that, I had an allergy, and you get fluid trapped behind the eardrum, and the body has the ability to take the oxygen out of this fluid or the air that's there, so consequently you get a concave eardrum. It's held in so it can't move back and forth.
Okay.
And that is why you either take some medication or get tubes in the ear so that you can let this eardrum start to move again. It's not held by a vacuum.
Okay, very, thank you for the explanation. That was good. That was it. Good. One more.
There's also at least two other sources of hearing loss. One is ossification of the ossicles, the small bones. And the other is profound loss of the nerve from the cochlea to the brain.
Would that be, his point was that there's other causes of hearing loss, the ossification of those little bones, and then something happening to the nerve, that hearing nerve. Yeah. Now, how does that get ruined? I mean, what causes?
It could be an injury, it could be an infection.
Okay. Yep, an infection or injury could affect that. Good. Yeah.
The ossification too can be from cold water.
Interesting.
I used to surf a lot, and I'd always punch through waves paddling out, and I have more bone growth on the inside of this other ear. There's no bone growth on this other side, but because I used to surf 5 days a week, your body starts trying to protect itself from the cold water.
Interesting. So your body was adapting to your activity, and that didn't help you. Interesting. There is something you can do when there's a loud sound coming at you, like the bell. If you're right under the bell, that's very bad. So either plug your ears, or if you don't have time, you can temporarily block some sound from coming in your ear by doing the beginning of a yawn. So you can almost feel there's a muscle that kind of covers. And you can't hold that very long, but if there's, like, sometimes if I'm on the street, my hands are full, and a loud motorcycle is coming by, I'll do that just to protect myself a little bit. So that's one trick you can use. Other things you can do is to practice using your hearing. You need to protect it, but then to get the most out of it, practicing listening like we did to the quiet. And just making your brain pay attention to those small sounds will make it seem like your ears got better. They won't. But your attention can improve. Yeah, I hear saw one more.
The Battle of Gettysburg, the third day, some of the Confederate sharpshooters were behind rocks. And after the battle, they found 12 of them dead without any wounds. They died because of the high sound concussion there.
It was so loud. Yeah, it's like being battered. Yeah, because it's a physical thing. Great and interesting. Now there's another aspect. Oh, yeah.
Same way with the Battle of Omaha Beach. Many of those soldiers had you might call a concussion. They had bleeding from the ears and from the nose because of the terrible bombing and shooting and everything going on around them.
So there is more in other warfare, concussion and bleeding from the ear from the noise. Interesting. Now, an aspect of sound that we haven't mentioned is its effect on your mood and your physiology. And how many people here, after they've had a stressful day, will put on music? Okay. And what kind of music do you choose?
Classical.
Okay, a lot of classical music. Yeah.
Nice rhythmic jazz.
Rhythmic jazz. Yep. You instinctively know what's going to calm you down. And the music or sound can actually be used for healing and used for changing your physiology. Now, all you who put on music to relax, you know that you sit down, you listen to the soothing music, your heart rate goes down. If you took your blood pressure, it would go down. Does anyone use music the other way to pump themselves up? Okay, what do you do?
Driving. Oh, barbershop music, quartets, you listen to them a couple hours and you won't sleep for 3-4.
Okay. Good, that gets you going.
You were a negative.
Yeah. Okay, great example. That's energizing music. That gets you kind of revved up. So the music has very definite physical effects. And I want to just give you a couple examples. And again, I'll have you close your eyes. And the reason I keep having you close your eyes is that vision it's just too big. It floods the brain. So you can hear better if you close your eyes. And just feel what this music does to your body.
The first one was kind of like a lullaby.
No.
Kind of.
it, and the second one was more like a peppy one, you know, kind of want to get up and, you know, like chatty.
Okay. Talking. So the first one more like a lullaby, the second one more like chatty. Yeah, good. Yeah. Yes, the first one was in a minor key. That gives us a mood. You had a thought too? No? Okay. Yeah.
Well, the decibel's higher in the first one. It's because you did want to protect your ears from it.
On the first one?
Yeah.
Okay, they were
probably. The decibels were similar.
They were probably similar, the decibels, in other words, the loudness. But the first one was low frequency, and the second one was high frequency. And so one might appeal to you more than the other. The low might bring you down, and the high will make you happy. Yeah.
I can feel my pulse quickening on the second one.
Okay. Yep, he felt his pulse quickening. It will do that. Your heart likes to go where the music is going. So I wish that doctors would prescribe certain music instead of, you know, drugs some of the time to lower people's heart rate and blood pressure, because it very definitely does that. So thanks for mentioning that. Other comments? Yeah.
They've also begun to produce music specifically for types of activities that you like to do, such as music to walk with and to have a beat of a particular beat that you will be able to walk at a pace you like to, and you just have to figure out which particular music you like to walk to.
That's great. Yeah, because your body wants to follow. Great example. Yeah.
I do water aerobics, and there's different kind of music for different things, but at the end you always play something kind of just soft and soothing, just for stretches. And the people who are swimming laps complain. Saying, oh, I need something.
Oh, yeah. It slows them down.
Yeah.
Well, I know I do these long marathon cross-country ski races. And at some of the races, as you're lined up ready to go, they've got huge loudspeakers, and they're blaring like the Olympics theme or Rocky, da 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 da, and you just feel like you can fly. And then other races, they have no music, and I ski so much more slowly because I just don't get excited by the music. Well, thank you for participating and offering all your comments. Hope you enjoy the sounds at Vespers. And just appreciate the music of life around you.
Could
thank
I
you.
Ask you a question?
Oh, you have one more question?
Yeah, I tried to get your attention.
Sorry.
Industry has made a tremendous amount of progress. You could never visit Simpson Timber Company without wearing a hard hat and earmuffs if you're in the noisy area. And the second that I want to ask you about, I have hearing aids. And I went to this lady, and I said, it's too loud. She said, well, you'll get accustomed to it. Mm. So there are three stations on it, so I go down to number two, which is more comfortable.
On your hearing aid.
Am I doing right?
Oh, absolutely make it comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.